Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, and a very warm welcome to those who are visiting with us, particularly those who have come from overseas. So glad to have you in the house of the Lord today. A very special welcome to our brother, Elder David Teo, and his daughter. Very good to see you. And very good to see all the rest of you. And if you have traveled and come back safely, the Lord be with you also. And how good it is to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Oh, that was a very tame one. Glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Yes. All right, sure. We are here today, of course, every Lord's Day to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to remember that our Savior is alive, and we want to tell the world corporately that our Savior is alive and He dwells in our hearts. How wonderful it is to have Him in our hearts. And then in 2 Sundays' time, we will be, of course, celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the day on which our Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. And then, of course, preceding that, we will have Good Friday. We pray that all of us will come prepared to worship the Lord, do invite our friends, and seize this opportunity to share the gospel with those whom we come into contact with. Now, the message today is the death of death, or the destruction of death. Now, today, let's say between going to a funeral or going to a fun place, which would you prefer to go? Now, I dare say that for most people, they will choose to go to the fun place rather than to a funeral parlor. But you know what the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes 7:2? It says, it is better to go to the house of the Lord, the house of mourning, than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living shall lay it to his heart. The Word of God tells us very, very clearly, it is better to go to the house of mourning. For there we will be confronted with what? We confronted with the inescapable truth of life. And that is, all of us must die. One day we will have to travel this road. We have to walk this way. Our body will then go into a box. Now, no matter how beautiful the casket looks, it is still a box. Our body will have to go into that box. And as we sit there in the funeral parlor looking at that box, surely thoughts must be running through our minds. Thoughts that could be very, very sobering. Thoughts that could be very fearful. Particularly with regards to those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not know where they are going. And they could be very fearful of death. So they could have very, very fearful thoughts. Now let us say that you are an atheist. Yes, you don't believe that God exists. You look at the body in the box and you say to yourself, death is only a part of natural history. It is only part of the evolutionary process. I die and I become nothing. I turn into dust and then I will be feeding other living things. And then I will be providing nutrients to the plants and the vegetation that grow over my body. Such thought, my dear friends, can be very depressing. Don't you think so? Yes, they can be very depressing. You mean to say I've become nothing? You mean to say that I'll be a food for the plants? And then the plants, of course, will become food for other animals. Now, listen to the word of this man, Edward Gibbon. Edward Gibbon, the author of History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, on his deathbed. Now, whether he was an atheist or not, I do not know, but for sure he was an unbeliever. And this was what he said on his deathbed. He said, all is dark, all is doubtful. I say that those words are words of desperation. All is dark, all is doubtful. And then another atheist by the name of Hobbes, an English philosopher who lived in the 7th century, he said this while he was on his deathbed. He said, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. Taking a fearful leap into the dark. My dear friends, all these who die without the Lord Jesus Christ do not have any hope at all. Any hope of living again at all. because they are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us say that you are not an atheist, all right? Not an atheist, but still an unbeliever. Now, you could have very, very hopeless thought as you look at the body in the box. You say, all right, that will be me someday. Now, where will I go from here? After death, what? What? Now, the question can be very, very unsettling. Very unsettling, particularly if you have in your mind some thoughts that maybe the Christian message is true. Now, if the Christian message is true, what it means is, I will not be going to heaven. Definitely, I will be going to hell, if the Christian message is true. Now, the truth is, the Christian message is true, absolutely true, because this message is given by none other than the one true living God himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord said this, "You destroy me, you kill me, in 3 days I will rise up from the dead." And indeed, he did rise up from the dead. Now, if Jesus didn't rise up from the dead, then we can forget about all that he said about himself, all that he said about life and death. We can forget about all those things. Then we'll say that, well, he must be a deceiver, either a deceiver or a madman. And if that be the case, then why are we all here? It's a big waste of time to be here. Let us all rise up from our on the pews and let's get out of the church right away. And let us tell ourselves, let's eat, drink, and be merry. For it is in this life only that we have hope. But the truth, my dear friends, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did rise up from the dead. The Christian message, therefore, must be true. Yes, he said, I will rise up from the dead, and he did rise up from the dead. So the message must be true. And his message, my dear friends, today is for all of us to come and believe this message. His invitation is, come, believe this message. And what is this Christian message? The Christian message is simply this. Because Jesus died, because Jesus rose up from the dead, he has put death to death. He has destroyed death for those who believe in him. My dear friends, that essentially is the Christian message. Death is not a part of natural history. Although our science books, our textbooks in school tell us that this is so, but it is not so. Originally, we were created to live and not to die. Let us understand this truth. Man was created perfect at the beginning. When he created our first parents, Adam and Eve, you know what God said? He said, it is good. Not just good. It is very good. Death is not natural, friends. Death came when our first parents sinned against the one true living God. And so we read in Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12, if you could please turn with me to Romans 5:12. This morning I think I'm going to turn to several passages. If you could, very quickly, Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12. Let me read this verse for you. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin entered into the world through our first father, Adam, as for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin entered into the world through our first father, Adam. And as a result of his sin, death entered into the world. And so our first parents, Adam and Eve, had to die because sin had entered into the world. As a result of sin, death entered into the world. And the next thing that happened was this. Death was passed upon all men. Death came down upon all the descendants of Adam. Why? Why should that be the case? Now, that is the case because we have inherited a sinful nature from Adam. We have inherited this diseased nature, a nature that is diseased by sin. Sin is also called the sting of death. Yes, if you are stung by sin, you die. Yes, death is also said to be our last enemy. Death stalks us from the day we were born till the day we die, till the day we are entombed securely. But friends, one day death will be swallowed up in victory by the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord returns. It will be swallowed up. That will be the end of death, absolutely. Yes, for those who believe in the Lord. Now, let us understand that death is more than physical death. Yes, physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. When a person dies, this separation takes place. The soul leaves the body, so there is this separation. Yes. Now, when our first parents sinned, of course they had to die this physical death, but they didn't die immediately. Adam, in fact, lived up to the age of 930 years. He didn't die immediately. But eventually they had to die, of course. They would have to be buried, and their bodies would turn into dust. But that would be something that was eventual for them. But what happened immediately after they sinned was that they died this spiritual death. Their souls were separated from the one true living God. As we said, and as the Word of God said, originally they were created perfect. They had this perfect fellowship with the one true living God. They had spiritual life, and they were receiving this life from God Himself. But when they sinned, they became separated from the one true living God. As it were, they were cut off from Him. They had no fellowship with Him any longer. Now, a picture of this separation is given to us by the lepers in the Old Testament days, in ancient times. When a leper suffered from leprosy, as we know, leprosy is a contagious disease. When a person suffered from leprosy, he was completely separated from the main community. Yes, he was as good as dead. Dead socially. Physically, he was alive. But socially, he was dead. Cut off from his loved ones, from his wife, from his children, from his friends, from the main community. Yes, and they would be regarded as the living dead. Socially dead. If anybody got near them in those days, they would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, don't come near me. I must be separated from you." But dear friends, they will be in that state until they were healed of their leprosy. After which, of course, then they could join the main community. But as long as they continued to suffer from their leprosy, they would be separated from the main community. Likewise, because of our sins, spiritually, we are dead. Cut off from the one true living God, in as much as lepers were cut off from the main community socially. They were socially dead as much as we are spiritually dead if we are cut off from the one true living God. Now, we would then have be spiritually, we do not have any life, spiritual life at all, just as a branch does not have any life at all if it is not receiving sap from the main stem. Now, we would be dead until we are healed of this disease called sin. And that is what spiritual death is. Afflicted with sin, separated from the one true living God. That is spiritual death. There was this man who was an undertaker. Being an undertaker, he was very familiar with physical death, of course, because it was his job to bury the dead. Now, he was very familiar with physical death, but he didn't give much thought or any thought at all to spiritual death. He didn't understand what spiritual death was. Then one day, this preacher by the name of Dr. Walter Wilson was called to conduct a funeral for a poor family. And because it was raining very, very heavily, he asked to be given a ride by this undertaker to go to the funeral. And as they went along, this Dr. Wilson then conversed with this man. And then he said to this man, this undertaker, "Did you ever read this verse in the scripture that says, 'Let the dead bury the dead'?" Let the dead bury the dead. Of course, the undertaker knew that Dr. Wilson was talking about him. Let the dead bury the dead. "No," he said, this must be a wrong translation. "Dr. Wilson, I think you are wrong. This must be a wrong translation of the Bible. Then it surely isn't such a verse." But Dr. Wilson said to him, there is such a verse. In fact, these were the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let the dead bury the dead. Today you are pulling this hearse behind you. You are bringing this dead person to be buried. He's physically dead. Yes, he can't respond to the call of his wife, the love of his family, the commands of people. Yes, he would not respond even if you give him the best food to eat. He would not respond because he's physically dead. But you are spiritually dead. You are not responding to God's call. You are not responding to God's love because you are spiritually dead. Ah, that day this man understood what spiritual death was. And that day, Dr. Wilson had the privilege of bringing this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how sad, how depressing, how hopeless if you go to the house of mourning and you look at the body in the box and say to yourself, as for me, beyond the grave, there is no hope. Because why? Because I'm spiritually dead. No hope. But friends, there is hope for you if you recognize that you are spiritually dead, because the Lord Jesus Christ offers you this hope. Jesus came to give us salvation. He came to bring us to heaven. He died, but he rose up from the dead, so that one day, as Jesus rose up from the dead, we will also rise up with him, those who believe in him. Now let's look at the Christian message. The Christian message has this to say to death. Death, you're finished. You do not have the last say. That's what the Christian message is. But death, you're finished. You do not have the last say. And Christ has gone to heaven, and he's there preparing a place for those who believe in him. And then because Christ is there preparing a place for believers to occupy the mansions that he's gone to prepare for believers, heaven can say to death, death, you are finished. You do not have the last say. Yes, why? Because Christ died and he rose up from the dead. And those who believe in him will one day rise with him. Death, you are finished. You do not have the last say. In some countries we know, the top leader of the country, who could be the president of the country, actually does not have the final say. Now, he could be a very good leader. He could be one who is very, very benevolent. He could be one who is very caring for his country. He could be one who is very, very sacrificial. He could be one who wants to bring his country into economic prosperity. He could be such a man. But there's nothing he could do because he does not have the final say. The final say lies in the hands of a background leader. Yes, who is in control over this man who is supposed to be the leader of the country. But let's say one day a very, very strange thing happens. Yes, the position of the background leader becomes defunct. And then this background leader suddenly loses his power because his position is defunct. Then this good president can turn to this man who was the background leader, and he can tell him this. Yes, you are finished. Yes, you do not have the last say now, but now I have the last say, and I will want to bring this country into economic prosperity. Friends, and that's what the Christian message says of death. Death, you are finished. You do not have the last say. How come? Because death has been rendered ineffective because Christ came to save sinners. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Death is rendered ineffective because Jesus came to save sinners. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. There he died for us. There he shed his precious blood to save us from our sins. There he destroyed him who had the power of death, even the devil. And so we have this very, very wonderful verse given to us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. If you could very quickly turn to this verse with me, Hebrews 2, 14. Hebrews 2, 14. Hebrews 2, 14. Alright, read this verse for you. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, meaning Jesus, likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took part of flesh and blood. In other words, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ took on human flesh. He became man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. He became man so that he could die for us, so that he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Yes, so the Lord came, died for us, destroyed him that had the power of death. And then to show us very, very clearly that death, our last enemy, was conquered, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. He conquered, therefore, physical as well as spiritual death. Now you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 55 to 57. You see that the Lord definitely has conquered physical death. Look at the words of victory recorded in these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57. I read for you. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, the grave will no longer be able to contain our physical bodies. One day, the grave will have to give up its body. Yes, you will have to give up the dead. And it will happen. It will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And the dead, of course, will be the believing dead and not the unbelieving dead. Now, the Lord has also conquered spiritual death. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Very quickly, Ephesians chapter 2. Put your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 5 and verse 6. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, this refers, of course, to spiritual death primarily, has quickened us together with Christ. God has quickened us together with Christ. When we were spiritually dead, He quickened us. In other words, He made us alive with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes, He has made us sit together with the Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. What it means is that Christ has gone to heaven. He is now our representative in heaven. And as it were, it is like our sitting with Him in heaven, because He is our representative in heaven right now. So it is as good as we were in heaven already, because He is there representing us. So friends, we were separated from the one true living God. But now we are reconciled to Him because Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And the Word of God says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. No longer are we separated from Him. Through His death, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has reconciled us to the one true living God. Now the Christian message also says, death is finished, and that salvation is available to all of us today. It is offered as a promise. Yes, death is finished, salvation is offered, and it is offered as a promise. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, this salvation will be yours, my dear friends. You don't have to hope for it. It will be yours. You don't have to wish for it. It will be yours. If today you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that in Adam, you are dead in your sins. You are spiritually dead. And one day, of course, your body will have to go into the ground. You will die physically, of course. And you are prepared to confess that you are nothing but a wretched sinner destined for hell. And you are prepared to repent for your sins. You are prepared not to give excuses for your sins. You are prepared to confess your sins. And this is something that I urge you to do. If you are serious about wanting to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, confess your sins. Repent for your sins. Don't give nice names to your sins. Now, if you are short-tempered, don't say, if you are ill-tempered, don't say that I've got a short fuse. friends, but say, I'm ill-tempered, I'm guilty of the sin of ill-temperedness. And when you are covetous, when you are greedy, don't say that, oh, I'm just trying to be very, very economical, I'm trying to be very, very prudent in the way I spend my money. When you are actually very greedy and very covetous, and when you are proud, admit that you're proud. Confess that you're proud. And let's not go around and say these people are very, very unspiritual and think that we are very, very spiritual. The truth of the matter is we are proud, and we had better confess that we are proud if we are serious about wanting Jesus to be our Savior. My dear friends, we must necessarily not only confess our sins, but we must repent from our sins. The Lord says it very, very clearly. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So friends, we need to ask ourselves, if we say that we have truly believed in the Lord, have we truly repented from our sins? We must repent from our sins. Now you can't say to death in his face and tell death, death, you are finished. You don't have the last say anymore if you are unrepentant. Now becoming a Christian today seems so easy in many churches. You see, the preaching does not emphasize on sin. It does not emphasize enough on the blood of Christ, or even does not talk about the blood of Christ. It does not emphasize enough on repentance. There is no talk about the need for repentance for one to be saved. The gospel is made very attractive. How? By the corruption of it. Essentially, the message is this in many churches, and I've said it many times from this pulpit. Yes, come, believe in Christ, and you'll be healthy and wealthy. That's the kind of message that's being given today. Come, believe in Christ, and you'll be healthy and wealthy. It is all about having happiness through material prosperity. It is about going to church to be entertained by lively music, by lively singing, by live shows. Yes. And it is about going to church and then feeling good that I've been to church. Yes, the churchgoer thinks that he's saved, when in actual fact, he's not. He's deceased. He is as old as his old self. There is no change in him. He's not born again. And the word of God is very, very clear. I repeat, friends, the Lord says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Now this salvation that is offered, yes, death is dead, put to death, and this salvation that is offered is something that is not temporary. It's not a temporary state. And when you have entered into this state of salvation, you enter into it for eternity. Your everlasting life is your everlasting possession. You don't ever lose your salvation. It is not temporary. You know why it's not temporary? Because God says it's not temporary. God says it's eternal. Right, he doesn't say he gives us temporary life, but he gives us eternal life. And so we read in 1 John 5:11-12. Yes, the word of God says, and this is the record that God hath given to us what? Eternal life. Not temporary life, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And the word of God further says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. So if we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, my dear friends, what we have is eternal life. It cannot be cut short. Now, because this salvation is eternal, we can look death in the face, all right? Because it's not going to be cut short. We can tell death in his face, death, you are finished. You do not have the final say. Now, as we said earlier on, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And so heaven itself can look straight into the face of death and say, death, you are finished. You do not have the last say. You do not have the final say. The Lord, on the night on which he was betrayed, said those very, very comforting words, the three verses that we have committed to memory. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord gives us this assurance. I have gone to prepare a place for you. You see how secure our salvation is. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Now, let's say today you have a friend coming from overseas, and you told your friend, "Hey, friend, you come and stay with me. I've got a room in my house. You come and stay with me." And so you expect your friend to come, and what do? In the meantime, you prepare, you make sure that the room is very, very comfortable so that when your friend comes, he will be most comfortable. Yes, you won't go back on your word. Yes, you make to try your very, very best to make the room available to him. Now, you are only a human being. I mean, when you make such a promise, you honor that promise. Yes, I prepare a place for you to stay. You come and stay. Now, the one who says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you." He says that, my dear friends, and he is the one true living God, one who never goes back on his word. His words never fail. He never lies. Always faithful. What he says he will do, he will do. And he further says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also." Maybe also. And this will happen when the Lord returns. The body of the believer that lies in the ground will be resurrected. And that body will be transformed. And then that person will be welcomed into this mansion that the Lord has prepared for him. But in the meantime, when the person passes away, yes, his body, of course, goes into the ground. Now, where does his soul go to? We talked about that last week. His soul, of course, goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the arms of the Lord. The Word of God says it very clearly. What? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, the soul goes to the Lord. And one day, when the Lord returns, soul and body will come together again. They will be reunited. And then the person, body and soul, will be welcomed into this heavenly mansion which the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for them who love him and who believe in him. Now, which side would you rather be in? To live or to die? Heaven is such a beautiful place. So, to live or to die? Now, if we trust in the Lord and believe that heaven has indeed told death, death, you are finished, you do not have the last say, then I think it's quite difficult for us to choose, right, between heaven and the earth and this world. Which would you prefer to be in, heaven or the earth? Quite difficult to choose, right? Now, if we have a very, very meaningful life on this earth, a joyful life, because we are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are doing his will, living in obedience to him, life is very, very worth living on this earth. So it's difficult for us to choose. But we also know that we get to heaven. It's great gain for us, right? Like what the great apostle Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Yes, but we are placed in a position in which it's quite difficult for us to decide. Both choices are excellent choices. If life is worth living on this earth because you're living for Christ, and heaven is, of course, a better place, yes, with the Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, it will only be an excellent choice to die if you are very, very sure that you will go to heaven, if you are very welcome in heaven. So, the question that we all have to answer is this. How sure are we that we are able to tell death, "Death, you are finished"? Yes, you do not have the final say. And if we can answer this question very, very positively, that we will be welcome in heaven. Now, if we are very, very sure that we will be welcome in heaven, of course, then that would be a very excellent choice to make, because we are going there. Yes, a young Scottish soldier who was a believer was very, very badly injured. And then he was being treated by this surgeon who was going to operate on him. And he told him, "Son, I have to operate on you, but I have to tell you this, that if I do not operate on you, you will die. But if I operated on you, you will have a 1 in 100 chances for survival. What would you want me to do?" And what did this young soldier say? The young soldier said, "Doctor, you do what you think is right." And so this man went under the knife of the surgeon, and thankfully he survived the operation. Then later on, a friend asked him, after he recovered, how he felt submitting to the knife of the surgeon. The young soldier replied, "I knew it would be all right for me. I knew that whichever side I come up from the operation, it would be all right for me," because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "If I recovered from my operation and I came back to this earth, then there was mother to welcome me. But if I came up from the other side of the operation, if I were to enter into heaven, there is Jesus Christ, or there was Jesus Christ to welcome me. So whichever side would be fine for me." So my dear friends, are you sure of your salvation so that you can say, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain"? I'm very, very sure that if I were to die today, I will be welcome in heaven. Will we be able to say that? Now, our salvation can say to death, "You are finished. You don't have the last say." So can heaven say to death, "Death, you are finished. You do not have the last say." You know why? Because our salvation has been secured by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by his resurrection. Yes, somebody has to pay the price for us so that heaven is ensured for us. Now, from Old Testament time, the Jews have been looking forward to the day. I'm talking about believing Jews. The believing Jews had been looking forward to the day when God would present himself, his own sacrifice, to save sinners from their sins. Now, all the sacrifices that the Jews brought into the temple pointed to one sacrifice, and that was the sacrifice of the one true living God, the sacrifice of his Son. So when a Jew brought his offering into the temple or tabernacle in those days, what he would do is he would place his hands on the animal. Now, the animal could be a lamb, could be a goat, or could be a bullock, depending on his wealth, depending on his religious position. Then, after that, the animal was sacrificed, and blood was, of course, shed. The animal represented him. The animal was his substitute. The animal died in his place. But that animal, as we said, was actually pointing to the sacrifice that God was going to make in the future to save sinners from their sins. Yes, he provided his own sacrifice. Yes, God provided his own sacrifice in the person of his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to be the sacrifice. The Son said, "Father, I'm willing to be the sacrifice." I could have told you this story before. It was about this young lieutenant who served in the Australian Army. They were fighting in the First World War. And actually, they were winning in the battle. And then this was the last mopping up process, one of the mopping up processes, I guess. But the enemy was still strong. And what the Australian soldiers did was to lay mines to trap the enemies, so that when the enemies came, they would blow the mines. Now, at that time, the Brigadier General was visiting this unit, and the Brigadier General and the Major were supposed to give the signal for the mines to go off. And then at the time when the mines were supposed to go off, the mines didn't go off. Something went wrong. And then there was this young lieutenant who knew all about mines and knew about bombs. He told his seniors. He said, "Sirs, I know exactly what the problem is." So without saying a further word, he rushed off into the minefield. And then a few minutes later, boom, the mines went off. The enemies were killed. That, of course, saved many lives, saved the lives of many Australian soldiers. But this Australian soldier, of course, died when the mines went off. He gave his life as a sacrifice for his fellow soldiers. And that, my dear friends, is what the Lord has done for us. The Father sent him to be the sacrifice. And he was willing to be the sacrifice. Now death does not have the final say, because our salvation has been secured by his resurrection. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to be sacrificed and then he remained dead, there is no salvation for us. But friends, to show us that salvation has been secured for us, Christ rose up from the dead. Our Savior is alive today. Death could not contain him. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 22. But now is Christ risen from the dead, verse 20, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man meaning Adam, by man, that is Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Just as our Lord rose up from the dead, one day we shall all rise with him. He's alive. And today he makes sure, he makes absolutely sure that our salvation will be complete. He makes sure that one day our body and our soul will come together. He makes sure that the body that we'll put on will be a perfect body like that of his one day. How does he make sure that we will put on that glorious body? How does he make sure that our salvation will be absolutely completed? I refer you to Hebrews 7:25, a very, very most marvelous verse. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25, I read for you the verse. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost, to the uttermost that come unto God by him, meaning Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. My dear friends, that's the answer, 7:25 Hebrews. Yes, he makes intercession for us to make sure that our salvation will be completed, that we will be saved to the uttermost. We are kept by his prayers, the prayers of the living Savior, so that our salvation will be 100% sure. So, dear friends, as we conclude this morning, let's ask a few questions. Do you see death as the greatest reality in life? Do you see it? I trust you do. And if you do, can you say to death, death, you are finished. You do not have the final say. The heaven that the Lord has gone to earn for me is also saying this to you, death, death, you are finished. You do not have the final say. And my salvation is secure because Jesus died for me and Jesus rose up for me also. My dear friends, I have this wonderful hope in Jesus that one day he will take me to be with him, and then one day he will put my body and soul together. I will have a glorified body like that of his. But if you are outside of the kingdom of God, if you do not have Jesus in your heart, my dear friends, when you go to a funeral parlor, you see the body in the box, you will be very, very distressed. Yes, you say, one day I'm going to be in the box. Where I'm going to go from there, I do not know. But you can be very sure, my dear friends, why don't you make sure today? Come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. Believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. We've been talking so much about salvation this morning. Yes, he offers you this salvation. Why don't you receive it this morning? Don't turn him down today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Come and believe in him, and then death will not have the last say over you. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, your kindness. Thank you, O Lord God, for all the believers who have trusted in you. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today can very triumphantly say to death, death, you are finished, you do not have the last say. Our Lord Jesus Christ has the last say, and we can say, because we have him as our Savior, that death, you are finished. Yes, you do not have the last say. Father, we thank you for this blessed hope that we have in him. And Lord, we want to pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who have heard the message this morning, the message of salvation. We pray, O Lord God, that they will not hold back any longer, and recognize that today is the day of salvation. We pray that you will move their hearts, cause them to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Cause them to see very clearly the reality of life, and that is that one day all of us shall have to die. And we have to answer this question, after death, what? We pray that you will enable them to answer this question correctly, the way it ought to be answered. And that is to answer it by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, so that they could say in the face of death, death, you are finished. You do not have the last say. My Savior has the last say. I have life everlasting. So why don't you do that this morning? Come and trust him as Lord and Savior, my dear friends. Our Father, we thank you for this time of prayer, this time of hearing your truth. We pray that you speak to each one of us. In his blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now those of you who want